Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you and welcome. And we're going to be looking at some times that are relevant today because we're coming upon the times of the popular holidays out there, which I like to refer to often as Hallmark holidays. And they're unbiblical. And not only are they unbiblical, but many of them stem from pagan practices or traditions. And pretty much when you're dealing with these things, you're breaking many of the commandments found in Scripture, and you're also dealing with, on a spiritual level, with the occult. You're coming to an agreement with Satan, and this creates a big problem. So we're going to look at some of these things right now as we discuss these things and really have to get a clear understanding of what is taking place out there and why the enemy is having his way with us, because it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. And I pray and I do this that people would wake up and they would understand this, because there's spiritual warfare going on, as it says in the Scriptures. And there's demons out there. Satan has his demons all over the place trying to torment us and make us think nothing is wrong or nothing is happening that shouldn't be happening. No, there are things that are happening that shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be choosing the side of Satan in this war that's taking place. Many of you listening might not even think there's a war going on. But that's not what the Scriptures say. But the Scriptures say in Ephesians there's a war that's continuously going on. In Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is taking place, whether you know it or not. And we need to wake up and we need to get right with what's happening out there today. And now more than ever, we just finished on this, depending when you're listening to this, something called Halloween, which many Christians today are partaking in. And a good amount of Christians are aware of the darkness that surrounds Halloween, but many Christians are deceived about the darkness that surrounds other common festivals and days that are being observed. And we need to understand and see the darkness around these things as well. And on my website, I have more than enough information about all these other days, as Christmas and Easter and Halloween, and just the history, when we do history lessons in these days. And to make it worse, we ignore what our Creator tells us to follow, and this creates a problem. Again, not only are you teaming up with Satan and denying Yahweh, but you are also now associating yourself with the occultism, and it creates a big problem, and we need to repent of this thing. You know, so the Bible definition of an occultism includes any belief or practice that opposes the law of Yahweh or the Torah. It also means any belief or practice that comes between Yahweh and us. Just as the occult moon comes between the earth and the sun, occultism thus includes anything that blocks you or comes between you and Yahweh. And you might say, well, what's wrong with observing Christmas or Easter? What is wrong with doing something like that? What is it keeping me from? It's keeping you from the understanding of not observing and following the rituals of the pagans. And also it's keeping you from following Yahweh's calendar, because you think what you're doing is correct. And on both levels, this is very dangerous and something we need to avoid. And there's a lot of things that people don't just get and don't know, and it stems in this occultism of keeping these certain days and following these certain times and just ignoring what our Creator tells us. You see, in the Bible, our Creator gives a calendar, and in the calendar, He tells us what days He wants us to observe, and how he wants us to observe them. And the majority of people out there that call them Christians are not observing the days he wants us to observe. And instead, they're trying to observe other days that aren't even of him. And we're warned over and over in the scripture, do not follow the way after the heathens. It even says in Exodus 15, if you diligently follow my guidelines and instructions, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians. When you go into the new land, it tells us later in Deuteronomy, do not follow the wicked customs of the pagans. And then when you go in your local church, that's what's taking place. People are following the wicked customs of the pagans. So I want to take a look at this, and I want just people to be aware of this thing. And I want you to have an understanding also. Passover, Shavuot, Sukkot, even Hanukkah. These are not Jewish festivals or feasts or holidays. These are biblical events that took place. And they're for biblical-minded people. And the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, is not a Jewish thing. It's for biblical-minded people, all people, whether you're Jewish or not. You know, and so many people out there today say they don't want to be excluded from the promises and the blessings of our Creator, but then they don't want to do what our Creator asks us to do. He has a plan for us, folks. But when we stick to our own plans, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. He says, know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster. To give you a future and give you a hope. He has mercy to wait for us to get it. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change so they will live, so they will have life. You know, but the way we think and the way Satan has us believing and thinking is, there's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. Whose side do you want to choose? To choose the choice of a future and a hope, or the side of death? And you know, we're all going to die, right? But there's going to die. A wicked man will die way before his time, as it says. So we have to get this right, and we have to understand what exactly we're talking about. You know, there are many people out there that observe certain days, and I'll name them right now, Christmas and Easter and Halloween and Valentine's Day and all these days, and they think that they're following Yahweh, but they're really following the occult. They claim to be worshiping Yahweh, but they're really worshiping cults out there and just so much of darkness that they're letting in their lives. Yahweh says in Malachi 3:6, I am Yahweh, I change not. I am Yahweh, I change not. And in the New Testament, the Renewed Covenant, Yeshua declares that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. As you're listening to this program today, it's the festival of Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah is not one of the biblically ordained holidays or holy days that are commanded to follow in the scriptures. However, it's an amazing historical event that something amazing happened for us as believers and the reason why we're here today. And it's just absolutely important that we understand the history of Hanukkah. So I want to start off this audio with just giving you a warning of not partaking in those pagan days or being involved in those days at all. And I want you to start changing your thinking about the biblical events and the biblical days we should be remembering and the ones we should be keeping. Hanukkah is a very important time, and I pray that as you understand the history of Hanukkah, it'll open up your eyes to understand the history of the days that we are commanded to keep in the scriptures. See, the Greeks wanted to change our culture so we would forget about Yahweh's calendar, but we need to remember it. So now here is a teaching about the history and the understanding of what Hanukkah is. And I teach according to the Torah and the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. And that's what the Torah is. The Torah, I've been telling people for many years, it's the foundation of all Scripture. And it's what the Yeshua, our Messiah, the one they called Jesus, and all of his followers used before there was so-called the New Testament. Because he was around, when he was around, they weren't opening up books in the New Testament. And Paul told Timothy, all scripture is profitable for man. And when he wrote that, he was referring to the Torah, or the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. There was no New Testament at that time. And for those of you that say the law is done away with, well, law is a grossly misused word, because it's the will of our Father Yahweh that every believer should be desiring to keep. And I'm going to do a teaching on Hanukkah right now so we can understand the importance of this day. But I just want to give you a quick example that I tell people often, because I often hear people say, or Christians say, well, the Ten Commandments is something that, you know, we should keep, or some say we shouldn't keep it. But regardless, where's the people that are keeping the Fourth Commandment? And they say, well, that's done away with. And if that's done away with, why were his followers so concerned with taking his body off before the Sabbath and getting them all buried in a tomb and stuff before the Sabbath? Because the law was not done away with. It's not all fulfilled. And it says, until all is fulfilled, not one jot or one tittle shall be done away with from the law. And we need to keep the guidelines and instructions best to our capability. If you want to understand, salvation comes only through the blood of Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah. But we shouldn't keep the law to be saved. We should keep it because we are saved. It's the will of our Father, and that's what he wants us to do. So, part of the guidelines and instructions have holy set apart feast days, which so many people today are following the days that are the Hallmark holidays, as I call them, or the pagan days. But the holy set-apart feast days, the holy appointments, are found in the scriptures. And there's each time, certain times each year, that we are to come, and it says in the Bible, throughout all our generations, and keep those days. But then there are some other significant, important acts in scripture that are not necessarily appointed feast times, but still wonderful times to remember and to reflect on the amazing things that happened and the reason we're still here. And this is the part where we can pick and choose of what we feel is such an amazing, important thing that we want to give a remembrance to it. For example, let's say you're reading the Bible once a year and you get into the story of David and Goliath. Now, David was an amazing man, especially at a young age, and what he did, defeating this giant and saving Israel and so on. So, is this something every year we're to celebrate and remember? Well, it's not commanded, but there's nothing wrong in doing that. And we not only have to do it when we're reading the scriptures, we could read it, we could celebrate it or remember it or talk about it as much as we want. We can do it once a month, we could do it once a year, we could do it as many times we want. And I think it's important in today's culture and today's time not to forget these other unappointed special events that happened in the scriptures, because so many people talk about, remember, and flood the internet with things that are non-biblical things to remember. So how about we talk more about things we should be remembering as believers? And I have no issue with people doing this as much as they want. And we're not worshiping. Oops. Let's see here. We're not worshiping the actual, the objects in these things or the people in these things. We're remembering the actual events. So that brings me to the idea of Hanukkah, which is the Feast of Dedication. And it's during this time that we observe it, and we're in this right now. And a lot of people are deceived or confused about what Hanukkah really is. So I just want to give a reference to what Hanukkah is, and what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing, and what it means to us or should mean to us. Because I would say the event of Hanukkah is probably one of the most important acts that ever happened in the history of man, if you are a believer. And there's a Hanukkah going on today right now in terms of What Hanukkah was basically, I'll recap it, but then I'll read it for you in more detail, is you had the Greeks that were trying to put their culture into the world, and you had the people of Israel that were literally being suffocated, but they were liking it because they were liking the new stuff that the Greeks had to offer. So they were throwing away their own culture. And it wasn't for this amazing family called the Maccabees that stood up against them and fought them. And today, this is what's happening. We have a culture, we have a society that's going so far against the scriptures, the true scriptures, and the way we should be living. And we're losing it. It's being lost. It's being lost because it's so tempting and exciting and glamorous to do the things according to the world today that people are not looking to go backwards and look towards the scriptures and what the scriptures have to say. So in a way, we're in our own Hanukkah. Now, the word Hanukkah means dedication. And really, it's a feast of dedication, and it has to do ultimately with the rededication of the temple that the Greeks tried to not destroy physically like other forces and empires came against the Israelites, but to destroy it spiritually. And as they tried to do that, we have to remember that today our body is a temple. And spiritually, the enemy is trying to destroy us. And I say we need to get up every single day and rededicate our temple to Yahweh and make sure what comes in our body, in our mind, and what comes in our body with our food, and also what goes out is holy and set apart. So let me read a little about Hanukkah here for you so you can get an idea of what it is. And maybe some of you know this, maybe you don't, but I think it's really important to understand these things. And let me reiterate again, this is not a holy, set-apart, appointed time, but it is an important time. So, Hanukkah means dedication. The festival is called the Feast of Dedication and also the Festival of Lights. Hanukkah lasts 8 days, beginning on the 25th of Kislev, usually in November or December. That's Kislev, which is the Hebrew month, and ending on the 2nd or 3rd of Tevet. So these are Hebrew month names. This is not one of the holy days Yahweh set forth in the Torah. It was first celebrated in 168 BC, during the time of the Maccabees. The events leading up to the celebration were foretold in Daniel 8:1-14, and 19-25. Hanukkah is mentioned in John 10:22-42 when Yeshua went to the Feast of Dedication. And now we're going to get into the story of the Maccabees. It goes way beyond what we've been told in school as a 8-step candle that lasted. They only had oil for one of the lights and it lasted 8 lights, lasted for so long. No. That's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at the story of the Maccabees in Hanukkah. It said, Alexander the Great was a military genius. In three years, he conquered the known world. Okay, in just 3 years. His goal was to Hellenize his empire. That means he wanted to unify everyone by spreading the Greek language and culture everywhere. He died young and his empire was divided among his 4 top generals. Many years later, the savage, arrogant Syrian ruler named Antiochus IV came to power. He was a heir to one of the 4 generals. He wanted to reunite the great empire of Alexander with himself as emperor, of course. So he tried to force everyone to accept the Greek culture. He called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, and this is Antiochus, the manifestation of God, with a lowercase g. N expected to be worshipped as a god. However, the common people found him brutal and evil, so they called him Antiochus Emir, which means Antiochus the Mad. The Jewish people did not easily give up their distinctive culture and religion, which was based on the Torah of Yahweh. Enraged by Jewish resistance and by the military embarrassment elsewhere, Antiochus attacked the Jewish people on Kislev, which is December 15th, 168 BC. He desecrated the temple by placing an idol of Zeus carved with his own face near the altar in the courtyard. On Kislev 25, December 25th, for the birthday of Zeus, he sacrificed a pig on the altar and sprinkled his blood on the Holy of Holies. Antiochus consistently terrorized the Jewish people and tried to force them to forsake their covenant with Yahweh. Anyone who had a scroll scripture or who kept the Sabbath or the feast was executed. Women who circumcised their sons were killed along with their babies. On the 25th of each month, priests were forced to sacrifice pigs on the altars in every town in Israel, and the townships were commanded to participate in the pagan sacrifice of eating that meat. This horrified the Jewish people, for Yahweh's guidelines and instructions say that pigs were unclean and were not to be in or used as sacrifice. Under Antiochus, anyone who refused to participate was tortured and killed. Now, let me stop here and just say real quick that even though the Maccabees at the time overthrew them and restored and saved somewhat of Israel, I think the Greeks won. I think Antiochus won, and I think they got what they want. Because I think our world today is more Hellenized than ever before, and less following the scripture ways and more following the Bible ways. But there's still a remnant left, praise Yahweh. There's still a remnant left, so that means there's still an opportunity and still a hope. It says, when Antiochus' soldiers came to Modim, 20 miles north of Jerusalem, to force the people there to disobey Yahweh, they encountered Mathathias and his five sons. Determined to remain faithful to the Torah, they all refused to cooperate. When another Jewish priest stepped up to offer the sacrifice, Mathathias, filled with anger, leaped forward and killed the first priest and then the officer of the king. Calling the faithful to join him, he and his sons fled into the mountains. Now, I would say, out of every act ever, now this isn't a book of Maccabees, and the book of Maccabees is actually a book that was taken out of scripture, but a part of the original 1611 King James version, and it's still in the Catholic canon. It's between the Old and the New Testament. There's Book of 1 Maccabees and Book of 2 Maccabees. And then it says here, over the next 2 or 3 years, families deserted the cities and settled in the wilderness so that they could practice their faith. Now, it wasn't the same reasoning, but there was a movie about the Holocaust where these two brothers had taken into the wild of I think it was Poland or somewhere, and they were escaping the Nazis. And it was really a great story, but this reminds me of what they're saying here. But this says, so they could practice their faith. Thousands of men joined Methodists to fight against the pagan oppressors. Judas Maccabee, which means hammer, became the military leader of the resistance when his father died. He led many successful battles against the larger and larger armies that Antiochus sent. The Maccabees drove away the much larger Syrian army, as Yahweh had said, not by no power, but by my spirit, in Zechariah 4:6. Eventually, the Maccabees warriors were able to safely re-enter Jerusalem, but found the temple area was disgraced and desolate. The gates burned and some of the buildings torn down. Weeds grew in the courtyard. After mourning and praying, they tore down the desecrated altar and built a new one of uncut stones according to the Torah. Hallelujah! They built a new temple of uncut stones. And a blameless priest purified the place and began temple service once again. Hallelujah! On the 25th of Kislev, exactly 3 years after it had been desecrated, the altar was consecrated amid much rejoicing and music and praise to Yahweh. The ancient Jewish text called the Talmud adds more detail to the story. It says that when the Maccabees reclaimed the temple, only one small jug of consecrated oil was found, enough to keep the temple lamp, the menorah, lit for only one day. Miraculously, it lasted for 8 days while the priest prepared for a second for this more sacred oil. This is the miracles of light that is so prominent in modern celebrations. Now, let me just say here that did this really happen? We don't know for sure. When it says the ancient Jewish text, the Talmud has a lot of history in it, but it also has some things that are certainly not history and certainly not of Yahweh. So we don't know for sure if that happened. And that's the story me and everyone else was told of growing up. And I don't want to hear a story about that's in the Talmud. I want to hear history. I want to hear about, you know, my people being saved and so on. So it says in the days of the Maccabees, all agreed that they should commemorate this event for 8 days every year, starting on the 25th of Kislev. The Feast of Dedication became the yearly celebration we call Hanukkah. Judas and his brothers had many more battles to fight. The brothers took on the name the Maccabees. Although the name means hammer, some feel that it came from the banner of the Maccabees, which read, Amikamoka, be Elim Yahweh, who is like thee amongst the gods, O Yahweh. If the Maccabees and their followers had not fought, the Jewish people would have been lost to the world. It's just an amazing act. And it's just really, really a special thing. And so I want people to know that and understand that and not look any less on this day than being one of the most important days and events in our history, to take an example of what we should be doing and standing up and not being sucked into the cultures of the pagan and non-biblical systems of this world. It's a very important event, and I wanted to get on here and give everybody this reminder about this important thing. So, it's the first night or the first day of Hanukkah today for the next 8 days. Just remember that. Read something about Hanukkah, and I would suggest you get the Apocrypha. You can go online and download it or read it online and read the story of the Maccabees and put yourself in their situation, what they went through and how they went through it. And that is another important day. It is not, and I repeat, Hanukkah is not the Jewish replacement for Christmas. That's ludicrous. First of all, Christmas is one of the pagan days that they were most likely trying to get people away from, that whole crazy idea of celebrating worshiping and of idols and so on, as what these days are. And so Hanukkah is a beautiful, amazing event, a beautiful, amazing day, and it's the rededication, remember, not only of the temple, but your body is the temple, so the rededication of your body, and the new temple that's being built from uncut stones, Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah. All right, everybody, have a blessed Hanukkah, shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 334. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. This is Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. If it seems like life's getting more and more complex and you don't know where to find the answers, join us each weekend to discover what God says about how to really live. We meet for worship on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 9 and 11 a.m., at the Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
In my time, I've traveled some roads, a rolling stone, nowhere feels like home. And I've seen people come, then they go. And life is just a story of some highs and some lows. Tell me, do you?